At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
I'm John Batchelor with my colleague Caleb Weiss in Africa for the Foundation for Defense of Democracy and also for the Bridgeway Foundation, and Bill Raggio in the U.S. East Coast time zone with me. He keeps the Long War Journal. Caleb, just checking up on Somalia, because we've been speaking of the Islamic State in West Africa. Does the Islamic State have a foothold in any fashion in Somalia, or is that an al-Qaeda story?
It does. Currently weakening position in Somalia. It has a branch in northern Somalia in the semi-autonomous region of Puntland in the extreme north. That's sort of been its hub and main base for a decade now. But for the past, well, since January, the Puntland Defense Forces have been mounting a pretty large counteroffensive against IS Somalia. That includes a record number of U.S. airstrikes, as well as Emirati airstrikes, and ground forces in the thousands from Puntland, sort of pushing the Islamic State out of its main strongholds and sort of caves and hideouts in those mountains of northern Somalia. To caveat that, while the Puntlanders have killed a decent amount of fighters and rooted them out of some areas, they haven't completely wiped out IS Somalia. In fact, most of its senior leadership is still intact, which, without destroying that, without destroying the wider networks, obviously that leaves a chance for them to rebound, just like we saw the Islamic State rebound around the world.
Bill, you have a question.
Caleb, the U.S. Africa Command over the past week has launched at least four airstrikes against both Shabab and against the Islamic State. The AFRICOM used to provide us details on these strikes, and now all we seem to get is that a strike was conducted and they give us a rough location and they'll tell us the group. Do you have any understanding of what the goal of these strikes are at this point in time? And do you know why AFRICOM has been silent on this issue, essentially?
No idea why they've been silent. I think this is a wider administration thing of, they're not that transparent. They claim to be the government of transparency, but they're not that transparent. And that's part of the wider Trump admin strategy. But on the purpose of them, it, you know, obviously it's to degrade the capabilities of both groups. For Shabab, it's more so what they like to call collective self-defense. So this is when Somali forces are engaging al-Shabaab or perhaps even being overrun or threatened to be overrun. They call in U.S. airstrikes and sort of it's a last-ditch effort to sort of help Somali forces turn the tide. In northern Somalia against IS, these are usually taking out fighter positions along the mountain ranges or near caves or even destroying the caves or caches that are hard to reach. So they do provide some sort of tactical purpose. You know, you and I have talked for a long time that they're not going to be the strategic win. The drone strikes are just not a strategy. They're a tool. But for, you know, however long the U.S. has been doing airstrikes, 2007, I guess, we've kind of used it as a strategy and not necessarily a tool in a wider arching strategy. So while they have those tactical successes or those tactical, you know, objectives, the larger picture, the wider picture here, I don't really know. Our strategy in Somalia is very convoluted, very confusing at times, and too little, too much, and only really focusing on sort of select military components or building up, you know, special forces units that are only going to be overstretched because they overuse them. So sort of like Afghanistan, where it was a very confusing policy or strategy, it's the same thing in Somalia.
Caleb, one more detail. We've got about a minute. My memory is to make a distinction between al-Qaeda and ISIS is that ISIS is more bloodthirsty and territorial. Is that still true in Africa, or are they resembling each other now?
Well, both are inherently territorial because it's jihadism or global jihadism, while it's religious, is also mainly a political project. Both of the groups want to rebuild the caliphate. Both of them, pretty much 99%, agree on the ideology. The Islamic State takes it one step further, and they're not as lenient towards other Muslims that don't strictly abide by their brand of jihadism or non-Muslims. Al-Qaeda allows its forces around the world to work with non-Muslim groups if it fits the wider goal. The Islamic State is essentially my way or the highway.
And Bill, is that your experience of ISIS in the Middle East as well? We have about 20 seconds.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Caleb said it right. Islamic State, my way or the highway. Al-Qaeda is sort of the big tent jihadist group. They will work with others. Both want to establish a global caliphate.
Caleb Weiss, Bill Raggio, Foundation for Defense of Democracies.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
I'm Alastair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
A mochi moment from Sadie, who writes, I'm not crying, you're crying. This is what I said during my first appointment with my physician at Mochi, because I didn't have to convince him I needed a GLP-1. He understood, and I felt supported, not judged. I came for the weight loss and stayed for the empathy. Thanks, Sadie. I'm Myra Ahmed, founder of Mochi Health. To find your mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Sadie is a Mochi member compensated for her story.
I'm Alastair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.